Jesus. Just want you to reach out your hands, just very simply. I want you to imagine just receiving something. I just want to say to you today that there's a Father here that wants to give and not to take. And so often you come to him thinking that he wants something from you. But today he comes wanting to give you something. And we still have this ethic that we've got to keep giving things to God, which is great. But another level, the Father just wants to give something to you today. I just want you to stand quietly. We're going to have a bit of silence now. If that's okay, Paul. Just have some absolute silence. No music, please. And I just want you just to stand with your Father. And I just want to ask a couple of really simple questions. How does that feel? Is he in front of you, leading you? Is he behind you, guarding your back? Or is he at your side, walking with you? I just want you to think about that before I speak. Where is he at the moment for you? Is he very close? Very, very close indeed, or actually is he quite a way away? And there is no test in that answer. Perhaps you'd like to sit down. You see, wherever you are with God today, the first thing he needs from you and I is a recognition of what our relationship is like. And there is nothing wrong with the days when he feels far away. It's called life. And sometimes he seems very, very far away, and other times he seems, Paul and I will talk about it, so close that you can just touch it. I had a period about a year or so ago where for a very, very long period I didn't kind of feel I really felt God at all. He kind of didn't really feel in the room. And I went to a conference just before last, and I was sharing with a really close friend of mine I've known for many years, and he said, Alistair, how are you doing? And I thought, actually, I'll just give you the honest answer rather than the Christian answer today. I said, well, the honest answer is actually not really great, really. He said, why aren't you feeling great? So I said, well, you know what I'm like, Greg. I'm a quite sort of a feely-based person and quite tactile and artistic, all that sort of stuff. So for me, it needs to be about I feel something. That's the way I'm wired. And I said, I haven't really felt anything for about a year. So he said to me, and I think this is deeply profound, he said to me, isn't it amazing how much the Father trusts you? Isn't it amazing how much the Father trusts you? And the more I thought about it, the more profound it got. See, when you're an adult, you need less supervision than when you're a child. And the reality is, as we grow up as Christians, let's have a really honest conversation here. There are periods actually in our Christian walk we don't actually feel God at all. We're really not sure if he's there at times, or really if he's got much on his agenda for us at the moment. And very often the route we go on that is we think, have I done something wrong? Have I missed out on something? It's a very common route to go. But actually, very often what God does is he just withdraws and he moves away like this. doesn't leave, but he just withdraws. Do you know what he does? He stands back and he adores. He doesn't stand back and judge. He stands back and adores. He just goes back a bit, comes up the limelight for a bit, and he stands back, and he goes to the edge of the room, and he looks across the room, and he adores. I'm going to show you a clip now of my 18-year-old daughter, Georgia. Georgia's a bit of a character. And she likes to do, at times, slightly insane things. In my view, they're insane anyway. So we're going to show you a clip of G, and I'm going to talk you through it a bit. We hope. Is it going to work? Yeah. So this is in New Zealand. She was doing a gap year. And in her gap year, she did a number of things. She worked a bit in the slums of India, which was brilliant, helping people in the slums there, which was an amazing time for her, deeply spiritual time for her. And she would say, in chatting to her, one of the times she's probably most connected with God over the last 2-3 years. And she also did this, we hope, if it works. There you go. Pretty amazing, isn't it? So I'm in England. And before she goes on the plane, she texts me from New Zealand saying, "Dad, just to let you know, I'm jumping out of an aeroplane." I sent her a text back. I said, "Next time, only text me when you've landed." I think I'm more nervous than you are, Georgia. There are some times when the only thing to do in God is to just to jump out of the plane. If you don't jump out the plane, you don't get the experience. I'm amazed by in that video is how relaxed she is. I would be cacking myself if I did that. There is no way I don't think I can actually do that. But you see, we all have our different aeroplanes. We all have our different places where it's really hard to jump. And the thing about being in family and jumping with a friend who you've known since you were 5 is you know how to behave together. All the behaviors are in place. There is no pretense. You can be totally real because you've grown up together, and so it kind of helps when you jump. Church is about those things. About 6 to 9 months ago, we were going through a position in our company where we wanted to do quite a lot of changes. Along with my wife and a couple of others, run a branding agency, which is kind of to do with advertising and that kind of thing. And we were quite confused as to where we wanted to go and what God required of us and all sorts of things, really. And a lady in Maidenhead called Jan Vickers came and said, and she said, and my background basically is sort of interior design, architecture, that sort of thing, just to give you a feel. And she said, "This is really good for you, Al. I got this picture, and you really are the person to solve this riddle." So I said, "What's the picture?" She said, "Well, I saw you on this barge trip." She said, "I was on a barge trip recently," and she said, "I kept thinking about you and Sandra." She said, "We went on this barge trip, and we went through Wolverhampton. And as we went through Wolverhampton, there were all these buildings." And she said, "Some of the buildings were just covered in graffiti and covered in ivy, but you could tell that underneath some of them was just outstanding architecture and just lovely spaces." But she said, as you kind of sailed by on your barge, she said, I reflected, I wonder which of these buildings are really savable and which of these buildings could really be of use, and actually which buildings really need to be torn down. And she said, "That is exactly where you are with ABA. And I said, "Bullseye. Absolute bullseye. That's exactly how we feel. The elements of the business that need to stay and be retained and need to grow for the benefit of the community and the business, other bits just need to be torn down." I believe that quite a lot of you in this room are in that place right now. where what happens sometimes is that we get so covered in ivy in parts of our lives that we actually lose track of what is the real building and what the building was made for. And there are other times when we look at certain parts of our lives and we're so aspirational and we so want to change, but we need to jump and allow that change to take place. It says this in 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at with our hands and have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we've seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, who has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So we write this to you to make your joy complete. See, right at the heart of the gospel is incarnation. It's his whole central thought that the Father sent a Son to bring life. That's why he came. That whether there was death or destruction or damage or ruin or ivy or brokenness or whatever, the Father came to bring life. And the Father came to make us life carriers. And that's what we are. We are life carriers. You and I are just life carriers. And you and I have all sorts of different experiences of life, different aspects of life that only we can carry. That is our story, our history. And our history, your history, don't get distracted by all that. Can we turn that off? Your history is his story in our life. Say it again. Your history is his story in your life. It's good, isn't it? And some of that story is really clever and really good and really joyful and really exciting, really fabulous. And bits of the story is just poo. It's awful. It's dreadful. But the Father is always there in the good bits, and sometimes he doesn't feel that close, but he's always there in the good bits and in the bad bits. His presence is guaranteed. There's a community out there that just wants to know there's somebody there batting for them. And for too often, we as church have stood for what you can't do, not for what you can do. So you can't have sex before marriage, you can't do this, you can't do that, 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 you can't drink too much, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. Jesus came to say, you can do. Jesus is far more interested in what you and I can do, not what we shouldn't be doing. I do believe in sin. I do believe that sin has consequences. But I do believe that primarily God's job is not to judge sin, but is to be a father. So when I see that video, pride wells up in my heart. Can't I not be proud? Because it's so flipping courageous. To me it is. When my son hears this week that he's ended up being picked to play for the first men's team at Marlin Hockey at 15, I can't not be proud. Because I'm his father, so of course I'm proud. I'm probably prouder than he is. I'm probably going to tell more people than he is. I can't stop telling anybody, because I'm proud. Why? Because I'm a father. And that's exactly how the Father feels about you. And about you. And about me. We need to understand that in sharing who we are, we basically are in two cycles the whole time. The one cycle is what I call the present cycle, which is being there. And the second cycle is what I call the proclamation cycle. There are so many places where the first thing we need to do is just be there. Whether it is healing on the streets, whether it is in the garage, whether it is in the kitchen, whether it is in the lounge, wherever it is, the first thing we need to decide to do is to turn up. And we have to ask ourselves some really simple questions. And it's not, doesn't take rocket science, which is this. God, where do you want me to turn up? Where do you actually need my presence as a carrier, as a life carrier, to actually bring something? I'll give you a very good example. This week, I met one of my heroes, a lady called Rachel Bentley. Rachel Bentley runs a charity called Children on the Edge. Children on the Edge is exactly what it says on the tin. It's a charity that helps children on the edge. She describes it, it helps children whose defences have been blown away. They have no defences. They have no family. They have no money. They have no clothing. They have no water. They are on the edge of destruction. And that edge can be all sorts of different edges. And she's one of the first ladies to go into Burma and actually begin to uncover what was happening in Burma with the children. She's been a pioneer in child trafficking. She's now, I don't want to sex her on tape, but she told me two places she's going to go in the world next. And when you hear them, you think, oh, that's unbelievable. That's the place you should be. So we were chatting, because we're helping her with some work this week, with branding her charity and communicating its values, etc. And I said, Rachel, I said, this is what I kind of feel. I said, I just want to talk something through with you. I said, I feel a bit kind of convicted that I haven't really got my hands very dirty recently. She said, what do you mean? So I said, well, I said, we're doing a load with lots of charities and we're helping lots of people. And it's absolutely brilliant. But I said, look, Rachel, I have not been out to Burma and worked with children. Well, I haven't been to India or Africa and done those things for quite a long time, for quite a few years. I haven't actually gone and been and really, do you know what I mean? Just really got my hands dirty, really got into it. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And I said, Rachel, I'm really not feeling too good about this. And she just looked at me and she absolutely eyeballed me really closely and she said to me, your hands are already in Africa by what you have done this morning. And what you have done this morning will change the life of a child in Africa. Believe me. Just think about that for a moment. Just think about the places that in your heart you're stirred about. See, God doesn't want you to go and do what you don't want to do. If you don't want to jump out the airplane, don't jump. He's not going to push you out. It's called free will. There's nobody pushing Georgia. Do you know something about what happened when she dived? Was she on her own? Was she with somebody experienced? Was she properly kitted out? Did she fall? Yep. Was she yanked up? Yep. Did she have a parachute? Yep. Sound like a spiritual metaphor to you? One of the things that you need to get really clear of as a community is what is your strategy. So from presence, you move into proclamation. Because presence on its own is a waste of time. There has to be a point when you proclaim something. But proclamation without presence is hollow. And sometimes it takes years of presence before you can proclaim. The great danger is you do all the presence and no proclamation, or you do all the proclamation and no presence. So then the question is, where do we do those two things? Who is your neighbour? Scripture is really clear, you ought to love your neighbour. But who is your neighbour? Your neighbour can be anybody. With the internet, your neighbour can be somebody across the side of the globe. You catch a virus over here, and suddenly, over here in America, it's an epidemic. How do viruses spread? There are three things that determine a virus. Three things. Number one, it is the intensity of the virus. It's the strain. It's the intensity of the virus that is the key. How much of the virus is in you and me? How deep does that virus go? In certain areas, if we're honest, we are more moved by compassion. We are more presenced by something than others, aren't we? You stick me around youth between the age of 20 to 30 and something clicks inside of me. It just does. And I feel the compassion rise in my heart because I see so much potential opportunity. So whenever I'm around that age group, something happens to me. More than young children, more than teenagers, more than the elderly. But whenever I'm around that group, something happens to me. Does that make sense? It's like something gets drawn down within me that God has placed there. And for each of you in this room, there will be different people or different people groups, different situations where you kind of feel that draw. And it's about responding to that draw. So who's your neighbour? And what is the neighbour? The neighbour is the person you want to live next to. So who is the person or the people or the groups of people that you want to live next to? We had a party at Christmas in our house. And one of our neighbours is, as I mentioned, my son plays hockey, is all the mums and dads around the Marlow Hockey Club. And we've been going for about, I don't know, however many years since Lewis has been playing. Lewis is 15 now, started at about 11. And you know what it's like? You spend up hours on the side of freezing cold hockey pitches. Those of you who've been mums and dads in sport or not, this is like football, rugby, whatever. And of course, you know, you end up chatting and relating, and actually quite a lot comes out, particularly for the guys, because actually it's a good connection for guys, because you can talk quite freely because there's some activity going on, and us boys do better with that. So we do all this stuff, and so what happens is that we start inviting these friends around, etc. I cannot tell you how many conversations I've had about the Lord with these people. I have lost count of the number of times I have suddenly found a Christian root in one of their lives. It's just unbelievable. It's just ridiculous. It's fantastic. And on whenever it was, the 22nd or the 23rd, I can't remember when it was, we had a party at ours with all of these and with our neighbours. Our neighbours all came to our house. We like to kind of enjoy it and do it well, so we had lots of lovely food and wine, and they all came round, and it was great, and we had about 60 people in our house. It was mad. There was one lady who I'll call S, because she might end up in the church. And this neighbour S started to chat. And Georgia has babysat for S. And she was asking all about George and what George was like and da-da-da. Because she said, Alice, there's something I want to say to you. She said, your children really are quite remarkable. They are just fabulous kids. They're just great. And she said, we often hold up your children as an example to our kids. And I thought, if only you knew. Like every parent. And we began to talk. And as we began to talk, she said, so you know that I'm from a religious background. So I said, yep. And to cut a very long story short, she said, so give me the whole nine yards of how your church started. This is just at a party. Just give me the whole nine yards. Just give me the whole lot. So we spoke for about half an hour about River. And she said, now tell me about your role. She said, I know at one point you used to lead there. Tell me about what you did. You know, what were your values? What were you going for? What were your strategic goals? So I talked and talked and talked until you can tell she's a pretty bright, articulate lady. She used to work for Goldman Sachs as a fund manager, so she's quite bright. And we got to the point, and there was that quiet moment. And you know how you get that stillness suddenly coming in? I felt the Lord say, go now. Just go for it now. So I said, so what about your children then? And she goes, well, that's it really, isn't it, Alistair? She said, that's what I really want to talk about, is how my children have a spiritual upbringing. Why? Because she'd presenced something, she'd seen something in some kids along the road, five doors down. And then she said, but what you need to know is that my husband P will never go for this stuff, because he's a physicist, he's logical, he's analytical, he's science, facts and figures. So I said, well, on earth do you think my wife Sandra is? She's a physicist. That's what she's trained as. She's science, facts and figures. And she said, that could be really good, you know, because Paul really liked, well, perhaps we could arrange something here. So I said, well, let's just think about it. See what comes out. What I didn't know was I'm literally, say, here in my lounge at the back here talking to S. In this corner of the lounge talking to P is my friend Sarah Darius. And Paul is going, do you know what? After their conversation, I'd really like to come along to your church, but I'm really not sure about S. You have three things to give away and three things to receive today. The first is strength. There's a strength inside of you that comes from your faith, that comes from who you are, that just needs to be given away. And there are many people out there who in some area of their life, emotionally, mentally, or with a practical need, are just feeling very weak. Di and I were talking earlier about the challenge of having elderly parents and how that can be extraordinarily draining upon you as an individual and how you can feel absolutely sapped by that. And what Di needs from us today is for us to pray for her that she'll be strengthened in her situation. She needs strength today. Sometimes it's just as simple as a bit of presence, which is putting her around her shoulder and just saying, I'm with you. But actually it needs a bit more than that. It needs a bit of proclamation. It needs to say some things into that situation. So strength is really important. Second thing I want to talk about is peace. Surely we are living in our country one of the most times for so many people. Security is such a massive issue. There is no security financially. Very little at the moment. people that thought they were absolutely had the whole nine yards sewn up are suddenly finding they haven't. Down my road, there are at least two senior executives who are unemployed at the moment. I've never known it like it. Security is a massive issue in our society at the moment. Who are the people that are going to bring peace? I'm going to talk about where treasure really lies. And who actually are going to pray and get those people into jobs through prayer and through connections and through support and through training, through wisdom and revelation, because that's what the church brings, wisdom and revelation, by the way, not just revelation. We're so revelation obsessed. We need as much wisdom as we need revelation. And the third thing we're here to bring is grace. We're here to bring grace. And you, young lady, are a great grace carrier. It's all over you. You always see the good side of people. There's a real gift on you around grace. I really see it on you as soon as you walked in the room. Jesus had the most remarkable grace on his life. So slow to judge the woman at the well. Slow to judge the woman caught in adultery. So slow to judge anybody he met. So quick to extend grace. And there's a situation in your family, right in your family, I don't know, husband, children or something, and you just so need the grace of God in that situation. And the day you just don't know how to cope with it, and you don't know where to go, and you don't know where to say, and you've run out of grace. And fresh grace is coming to you today. Right now. It's coming to you right now. Grace for this situation is coming. And restoration will come. And the impossible will be seen. So, if you feel the thing that you really need today is grace, I'd just like you to stand. Close your eyes, please. Imagine that situation. Think about the situation. And as you're thinking about the situation, particularly you, sir, I'd like you to imagine the Father standing right behind you and to say that you will not be attacked and that your place at work is safe and that God will honour you in the workplace. Just receive grace right now. Just lift your hands up. Imagine receiving a little bowl, a present, and Paul's going to play over you. And if you need strength, and if you need peace, in a specific situation, I'd like you to stand as well. But I felt grace was a big one this morning, that's why I started with it. That's extraordinary. So grace it is then. Grace it is then to be grace carriers, to have the grace to deal with the pain, to deal with the anxiety,
there's a battle raging over this land, deep damage in the people, pride stops us stretching out our withered hand. yet God has stretched out to heal. This I know. That's just one touch from the King changes everything.
Just one touch.
Just one touch from the King changes everything. Everything.
Just one touch
from the King changes everything.
Just one touch.
Just one touch from the King changes everything.
And the touch is coming now. Touch is coming now.
There's a great darkness over this land. Deep darkness on the people. But a light is shining that the dark can't understand. The light of the world, King Jesus. Do you know?
Yeah.
Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? That's just one touch from the King changes everything.
Everything
is
changed.
Yeah. Just one touch from the King changes everything.
You release those touches right now in the Spirit. Release the touch of the Father right now into your situation. We say that tomorrow will not be the same as today. We say that tomorrow will not be the same as today. We speak into the weariness. We speak into the tiredness. And we speak strength into the weariness and into the tiredness. We speak wisdom into these situations. I believe that wisdom is a remarkable gift that God has given us. And I speak into each of your hearts wisdom for situations. The situation you're dealing with, close personal situation, you need a shed load of wisdom. Just a shed load of it, a bucket load of it. And you've often been at night wondering what to do from left to the right, and I want you to know you're on track. And he's been melting your heart in this painful process. But he's so glad you're so close. And he's so glad you're listening so much. And I'm not promising some magical cure. But what I am promising is the grace of God is coming to you in a way you've never really understood. And you're going to understand it's more and more about being and less about doing. For you, that's been quite a struggle because you're quite a doer. But actually in this season, what God is teaching about is being, not doing. You don't have to do anything more. He can't love you anymore because you're such a doer. You're such a get out there and make it happen lady. That's just in your DNA. It's what God loves about you. But in this season, he's wanting to teach you something about being. You can't do unless you be. That's what stress is called. Let's just sing it again, Paul, shall we?
Just one touch from the King.
Just one touch.
Changes it.
Let's sing it together, shall
we? Everything.
Just sing it in to your situation.
Oh, just One touch from the King.
Just one touch.
It's changing everything. Oh, just one touch from the King is changing everything. Everything is new. Everything. One touch from the King changes everything. It's great grace. Great grace. Great grace. It's great grace. It's great grace. Great grace. Great grace. Great grace. La la. Everything's new. Everything will change. Yeah, yeah. Just a word from the King. Just a word of affirmation from the King. Just a touch. Just a breath on my shoulder.
Okay, let's just be silent for a moment and we'll just finish with this one thing. If you know today is a day where you've got to do what my Georgia did and jump out of your plane, just take a step forward. I want you to know that's the beginning. The first step is the hardest step to take, and you've just taken it. And I want to declare over you great courage. Amen. Those of you that step forward, I want to declare over you great, great courage. And to declare that your Father will be your defender. I won't defend you. The church will defend you. Because that's what the church is here to do. Is to defend its family. And to defend the world. To stand for the world. But most of all, the Father will defend you. God bless.